Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Dan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be with you guys. Hope you guys are well and had at least as good of a weekend as you could.
That's the best way to put it. That's exactly what it was. So what do you conclude after watching every pass that Daniel Jones threw?
I'd say the number one thing was foundationally, he's much more talented than certainly I had anticipated him coming out of Duke. And I think a lot of people outside, you know, national observers probably still think. You know, there's a couple of things that are paramount when it comes to importance to play quarterback in the NFL and playing it at certainly a really high level to a franchise level, all those differing varying levels. I would say the number one physical attribute is you've got to have NFL accuracy. And I try to get people to understand it's like every guy in the NFL is accurate. It's the NFL. There's 70 people on the planet that are doing what they're doing. But NFL accuracy is, can you throw the ball in a 4-inch by 4-inch box on every single play, essentially? And there's only really a handful of guys that can do that consistently in the NFL, maybe a half dozen to eight of them. And Daniel Jones, when he had to play versus man coverage last year, man to man, I got this guy in front of me and I'm going to run all over the field with him. He was outstanding with his accuracy. And that was a really big kind of difference maker for him. Not only individual performance-wise, but for their offense. And so that was just something that really stood out was how accurate he was with the football. And I remember him coming out of Duke the morning after the draft, breaking down a tape on GetUp of, a clip against him or him versus Temple. And I said the thing that he does by far is his accuracy with the football. But to do it on the NFL level, it was really impressive.
Did you see anything that disturbed you at all?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there, when you look at the tape, what I do is when I go watch tape, I don't watch tape. I study the tape. Okay. I don't go in with preconceived notions. I'm just going to cut on tape and see what my eyes tell me. And so my eyes are going, man, this guy's lighting it up in man coverage, lighting it up in man coverage. Then all of a sudden, well, that's a bad ball versus zone, or that ball floated versus zone, or man, that defender broke on the ball and batted it away too early. And so it was wild when I went back and then charted all the stats. How different of a player he was in man versus zone. Really good in man, really bad in zone. Now, everyone's question is going to be, well, why did he struggle in zone coverage? A couple of reasons. Number one, it's a growing curve. It's a learning curve. That's his maturation process. Zone coverages are different every week. Cover three versus the Cowboys is different than the cover three versus the Eagles, and it's different than the cover three versus the Redskins. One guy might carry a defender. One guy might drop into a different hook zone. So learning all those intricacies takes some time. Two, the windows in the NFL are smaller and they close faster. And that was evident that those windows that may have been there for him in college that he got away with didn't happen in the NFL. Three, if you anticipate man coverage is, again, my guy versus your guy. I got really one set of eyeballs on me. In zone, I got six or seven sets of eyeballs on me. So when they see my back foot hit and that ball come off, my hand come off the ball and I start to throw, those guys are breaking on a football, not a guy. And I don't want to make too big a deal of the lack of arm strength, but the lack of arm strength is a big deal in zone defense. I have to anticipate so much more. And my guys, receiver-wise, have to know exactly where I'm thinking that anticipated window is going to be. And the arm strength needs to get better for him, for that zone defense not to impact him as much as it did.
How does arm strength get better? I mean, can an arm is an arm. It's not like you could have a guy throw 90 miles an hour, make him throw 99.
Well, you don't want him to throw 99, nor you need him to, but you need him to throw 91. You need him to throw 92. And I always try to get people to understand this. The average throwing time in the NFL is 2.5 seconds. Now, I want everyone to imagine just envisioning those defensive ends, like straining around the edge, around the top of that kind of hump to get to a quarterback and reaching at him or something like that. The difference between a ball getting off or a sack fumble is 2.3 seconds to 2.5 seconds. It's incremental. And then the difference between a defensive back diving and getting the fingertip on a ball and tipping it up in the air, or a guy breaking on a football and just getting his hand inside where the receiver's hands are, is a difference between a tenth of a second, two-tenths of a second. And so can you make a guy go from average arm to howitzer? Of course not. But you don't need him to. You need him to get a little bit stronger in his arm. So is it another 300 revolutions on a football because his forearm is stronger and he strengthens his wrist in the offseason? Is it because, you know, I was with guys like Matthew Stafford would always get under a squat rack and put 315 pounds on his back. And I was like, why are you doing this? And he said, because it helps my arm. And I remember being like, there's no way. And so sitting down with him and arm specialists and strength coaches, it strengthens your core. And arm strength really comes from the ground up and then back down, like using the ground to create force, using torque. Imagine a golfer turning around a golf ball. So the weight room is a big, big part of it. And if Daniel Jones can increase his RPMs and increase, let's say, a fastball from 60 to 62, well, that might make two batted balls a day go away. And so you can absolutely increase the arm strength.
Watching him with the uneducated eye that I have, just as a fan, way too many fumbles. What did you see, the reason, and is that something that's correctable?
Absolutely correctable. I've been around plenty of quarterbacks that corrected it. It's really just you get what you emphasize. That would be the least concerning thing about me if I was a Giants fan or a person on that team or their front office. Guys will fix that. Especially guys that have really strong work ethics like Daniel Jones. Again, weight room, drills that they will do every single day. They will do a drill every day that is about protecting the football or valuing the football in the pocket. Can you get stronger in your upper body? What did I see? It's a little bit of pocket presence. You know, like, imagine, you know, having to go, this is going to sound crazy, but having to go play tag in traffic in a highway, right? And cars are flying by you. The more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. You know, the more you're going to feel color and feel cars, not that anyone would do that. And it's part of just feeling the rush of the NFL and understanding how quickly things happen. And I'll go back to my point that I made about the rushing defensive end. I mean, it's 2.5 seconds, but if the ball gets off in 2.3 or 2.4, there no longer is that fumble. And that comes to understanding the defense, processing the information. Okay, if I'm playing Philadelphia and they're going to play cover two, man, when they play cover two, the Sam linebacker, the nickel, really likes to hang inside on number three. When I stare at number three, he'll hang inside. The ball can get outside to my number two receiver, the slot. But you know what? Dallas's nickel, he likes to hang outside no matter where I put my eyes, and he drives inside. All those little intricacies allow you not only to throw the ball at the right place, but throw it faster. The fumbles will decrease. And so I can't make as big of a deal as I can that is not going to be an issue, something that really holds him back in the future, because he'll correct it.
All right, before we let you go, and this might be an unfair question, but we deal with that. From what you've seen, can he be a great quarterback in the NFL? Can the Giants win a Super Bowl with him?
I think the Giants can win a Super Bowl with him. I don't know if he can be a great quarterback. I have two major question marks, and these are the exact same question marks I had with him coming out of Duke. And this is why I said he can't go be really good. He's the sixth pick. He needs to go be great. One, what does he do in panic moments? And that was the same thing that I talked about coming out of Duke, that there's a little bit of panic there, and people may not think that that's a big deal, but if you have six or eight panic plays a year that are these back-breaking panic plays, you never become great. You never become franchise, Super Bowl dominant quarterback. And two, the arm strength is a thing. And I'm not an arm strength guy. But in a time in the NFL where the field is as spread as it is, and you got to be able to create your own shot as a quarterback. Arm strength plays its part. And until I see the arm strength increase and the panic plays reduce, I'll sit here and say I think he's got a chance to be a good player and a playoff caliber quarterback. But until those two things get corrected, I can't see him go. I can't sit here and go, yeah, he's going to be a great player, or I'm very confident that the Giants absolutely will win a Super Bowl with him.
So if they win a Super Bowl, it would be Trent Dilfer right now.
Yeah, it would be a piece of the puzzle. It would be, you know, like I'll
he wouldn't be Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, and that's not who he is. So don't ask him to be that. And I wouldn't. And again, I know people don't like the lateral comparison to Eli. But one thing that that is indisputable with Eli is that dude's pulse rate never changed. He was outstanding when he needed to be. The panic level, when he needed that panic level to not rise, it didn't. And maybe Daniel hasn't been thrust into those moments just yet, and maybe he'll conquer them. But until he does, I'm not willing to pound the table. He'll be great. No.
Great stuff by you. We always love talking with you, Dan, so please stay safe.
Be well, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
For more than 80 years, Nissan has been there for you, and now is no different. We're offering flexible payment options for current NMAC customers. Our service departments are here to help. And for future owners, we're now offering more help. Deferred payments for 3 months on 11 models. Plus, we'll cover your payments for up to 2 additional months. Plus, get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on 10 models. This is help when you need it. Visit NissanUSA.com today to learn more. Nissan, innovation that excites. Offers available to well-qualified buyers on purchase of an eligible 2020 Nissan from new dealer stock when financed through Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Subject to NMAC credit approval and max term limit. Subject to residency restrictions. NMAC special APR cash amount is capped and varies by vehicle from $500 to $2,000, which customer can apply toward up to 2 monthly payments. Customer is responsible for all payments. Delayed payment must begin 90 days from date of contract. Accrual of interest commences from contract date and consumer responsible for accrued interest. Dealer participation may vary. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, including list of eligible models and service availability. Offers end 6-1-20.